Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Gestalten Podcast. My name is Martin Groschwald. And before we get into this episode's guest, we are now going to be working on the podcast in seasons. So that means we're not going to have just random guests or guests that are working within the car design world, but we have curated guests for a very curated topic. So all of these seasons that you're going to listen to at some point this year will be about a very specific topic that is playing a current role within the car design world. It is my absolute pleasure to welcome you all to this episode of our season, Women in Car Design, and also to welcome Claudia Brown. Claudia might be known to quite a lot of people within the industry. She used to be the head of CMF design for Rivian, Volvo, Polestar, Porsche, as well as Mercedes. And so she had quite a bit of experience with quite a few leaders within the industry as well. And she has also been a part of the consulting team here at Concepta. So in that said, a very warm welcome, Claudia Brown. Hello, Claudia.
Hi, Martin. Thank you very much for having me.
Anytime, anytime. So, Claudia, this season of the Gestalten Podcast is about women in car design. Now, you've been in this industry for a few years now. You've seen quite a lot of things as well. But before we get into that, why don't you share a little bit with the people where you come from, what you've done so far, and just a little bit about your entry-level experience so far.
Yeah, my first experience in the car industry was with Smart. That was really a nice time. So a lot of young, really skilled designers working together. We were wearing sneakers. We were very creative. It was a lot of fun. And I made an intern at Smart, and I was a working student there. And afterwards, I worked via an external design company there at Smart. And I was responsible for exterior color, which was really great. I was allowed to mix my own colors. So, and we made really crazy things. So that was really the fun factor, I would say, which kind of led me into the car industry. And also the feeling as a CMF designer to be responsible for the complete car, exterior color, interior colors, how it matches everything together. So that's a great thing. And it was a very inspiring and cool team there. And yeah, after that time, I joined Porsche for 8 years. I've been there as a CMF designer, also with a focus on exterior colors, exterior differentiation, wheels, but also responsible for the interior colors and materials for the Cayenne, and later a little bit Macan. And of course, Porsche was great because of all these fantastic additions. So that was really a great time. And we were a really small team at that time, I think 4 people. So it was also, for me, a good learning. So I've learned everything from the very creative part, but also material development side and color matching and the light cabin at the production side. So I learned nearly everything there. And after my time at Porsche, I joined Mercedes as a creative team leader. With a really nice team there. And after 1 year, I became head of department. So I had, from one day to the other, over 30 people in Sindelfing. I think we were like 34 or something like that. And a very cool, a creative advanced team in Como. There were also some interior and CMF designers there. I hired someone for America for the satellite studio in Carlsbad. And I hired a person for China, and that was really great. So when I was driving to work in the morning, I had my call with China in the evening with the US. And in between, I led the complete CMF team, and was great because we were responsible for show cars, advanced projects, mm-hmm. but also for all production cars, all Mercedes cars from A-class to S-class, but also Smart trucks, vans, so everything. And I really loved it. And for me, it was fantastic to see how I act, because I was not used to be a leader of that such a big team. So that was really great. Well, after that time, I always wanted to live abroad. So I joined Volvo and Polestar for 2 years, which was also great. So Polestar Precept, for example, or EX90 and EX30 was happening during that time. Sweden was a very great inspiration for me, mm-hmm. also when it comes to leadership. And I joined Rivian after that time, which was a startup. Again, something completely different. So I would say I have experienced nearly everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, was cool.
And now, obviously, without doing a little bit of too much, you know, self-advertisement here, you're obviously now with us at Concept House, so experience something completely different.
And I love it.
I am very happy to hear that. But so let's talk about your early beginnings in that sense, because, you know, I always find it fascinating when I talk to, let's call them the boys, a lot of them come up to me and say like, oh, I always wanted to be a car designer. I loved cars from the very early beginning. You know, there was a very early affinity to this kind of topic of vehicles as well. Now, how was this for you? Because, you know, women are still a very underrepresented, you know, part within the car design world in general. But was it always the dream for you to go into this car design world, or did you fall into it? Or like, how did you get your start at Smart back then? Or like, you know, even the internship going?
Yeah, this is really an interesting question, and it's not so clear than for the most men it has been probably. I was always interested in cars, but not the way like the typical car guys. I would say my grandfather was always like working on his cars. My uncle, my father, everyone did nearly everything themselves when it comes to their cars. Everyone was really interested in cars. And I remember the time when I got my driver's license. This was the moment where I felt such a freedom and happiness to have my own space, driving wherever I want. And driving was always great for me. I loved it. And I was always also really driving good cars, I would say, without like reflecting why. I have bought my first car very late, but I was driving cars from my parents, friends, and so on. I had really always nice cars in my life. And I remember when I was in school, I think it was first or second grade, the teacher told us, paint a picture and explain what you would like to be when you are an adult, what profession you would like to have. And I painted a picture of a woman, and I asked my teacher, how do you spell designer? So I wanted to become a designer. No one knew why. It was just my dream. And I always thought a little bit more about fashion design, mm-hmm. or something with textiles. Yeah, it never changed. So when I started to study textile design, my parents, they were a little bit upset, because I think my father always hoped that I'm becoming an engineer. But unfortunately, I was so bad in math that was not possible. So I was dreaming of becoming a designer, and I got really a positive feedback from Pforzheim. So mm-hmm. I could go there for studying fashion design. And I got also the feedback from Stuttgart, from the Art Academy, that I can study textile design. So I had, that was probably the most important and biggest decision in my life. Mm-hmm. It took me like some nights to really think about it. I couldn't sleep anymore. And I decided to study textile design because I felt a little bit, it was a little bit more connected for me to really understanding how the construction of a textile works, how to print, how to weave, how to knit a textile. So I was very much into that, not so much in like just using textiles for fashion and style, but it was a tough decision for me. And during my studies, I learned a lot about textiles, weaving, and also materials in general. Mm-hmm. And we had a fantastic person there, Karl Höing, who taught us. And he was completely against the car industry, funny-wise. Many of the women who studied there with me are in the car industry, Audi, BMW, everywhere. So it was interesting. But we got such a good education about like seeing and evaluating colors and materials, getting a really good basement and knowledge, perfectly, I would say, teach for the car industry. I was a bit bored after 2 years, and a friend of mine, she came just back from Smart, from her internship. They're searching for new interns. Maybe that could be something for you. And I thought, yeah, good idea. So let's try it out. So this was my entry. And then I realized, oh, cool, I can combine my love for cars and driving with my love for or my passion for design. And that was the beginning. And I really liked the idea to have also a little bit the control of the combination, because if you're studying textile design, you never know who's using your carpets or fabrics or furniture in which way. And to having control about the things I'm doing, this is what I really like very much. Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, you know, I think the textile world in general, like, you can do so many things, whereas the car is, I wouldn't want to say limited, but because of, you know, production direction, you have to know what you can use and, you know, not take too much time on the development overall, because, you know, have to know where you want to go. So it is probably a bit more limited. But was that also something is where you said when you first started, where you said, like, okay, I have the limitations, but the limitations, what makes it interesting? Or was there also something where you said, just, you know, blindly going into this car world and thinking about, hey, I can change a lot of things here because it's not going, or it's not modern enough of how I think?
Yeah, I think limitation is a really good driver for design. So I think if you get limits, no matter if it's from the financial side or if it's from, like, the development of materials or things, I think limitation always brings you to the next level of creativity. So I never saw it as a problem. For me, it's of course a challenge, but I always felt, okay, I have these, like, pillars now of the limitation, but behind those pillars, it opened up again a new world for me. So I never saw it as a problem, honestly. I know there are other designers who are really struggling with that. I saw that very often, but for me, it was just, I can definitely accept limitations if the limitations are not based on a real, I would say, statement or a real case, then it makes no sense, of course. So if you get just limitations because someone is not, like, supporting you, then it's, of course, not really very interesting to think about it. But for me, limitations were never really a big problem.
Looking back a little bit, when you first started, so just go back after you did your internship and you said, like, okay, cool, I can imagine staying in this world, and from what I've seen right now, what was that like when you first came in and you actually started your professional career? So you were employed, you know, you were getting money for what you wanted to do. Was there a, you know, how to put it, like, a naive kind of system of you going in and say, like, wow, this is, you know, now the dream? Or were there also, you know, moments in your first year or first 2 years where you were just like, do I really want to stay here? Is there, you know, the culture is like, you know, am I being taken seriously in all these kind of things? Because in those first couple of years, there's a lot of thinking, I think, happening nowadays. Like, you know, where am I going to go? What, you know, do I really want to do this and everything? So that's, how was this for you?
I think if I look at younger people today, they are sometimes a little bit overthinking. I definitely didn't overthink things, but I also really struggled with the situation that I was always dreaming of design, and I don't know why. I had more like many female designers around me in my vision. Probably because I grew up with nearly only girls. I have always loved to be with boys. I also was in the, like, a lot. I spent a lot of time with skaters and all these guys, and I really love to be with, like, in a very, I would say, diverse, balanced world. But I grew up with only girls. At school, there were always girls. And when I thought about design, probably I had more this, like, vision of fashion design, mm-hmm. where you have more, a lot of female role models. I had an imagination of a female role model in my mind. I came to the car industry and all the bosses are male. The way of thinking was different than I've expected. Not good or bad, but I just realized that I was really thinking, okay, it's a little bit different than I have expected. I love the job, the design, working with other people, with creative people. But the whole system and this, like, seriousness, which was sometimes necessary, but sometimes also really not, I didn't really know how to deal with that. So I think we could have even more fun without this sometimes unnecessary seriousness or ego thing, you know what I mean?
let's talk about that a little bit, because obviously it is still the case that I think from all the studies that we've done, let's say 85-90% of the people working within car design are male, and probably most of the females are working within CMF. There's very few people that are working within exterior design, interior design, modeling in diverse ways, and visualization design, project management, and all these kind of things. Now, we come back to the topic of like, okay, what can we change in the future? But for you moving up in your career, so you mentioned, you know, going into this kind of team leading role at Mercedes and everything like that. Did you have any role models on the way, people that you've learned from, or were you more feeling, hey, I have to do this myself because I don't have that many women around me. I have the male around, like, you know, the male bosses around me and the colleagues. And yeah, I can pick up some stuff for them, but there's also stuff I don't want to pick up because of how they deal with each other or treat with each other. How was that for you in those years going up to, you know, or leading up to the team lead position at Mercedes?
Yeah, it's really interesting because there was no female role model. I honestly don't think that I was searching so much for it because it was clear there is no one else. It was more the opposite side that when I started as a team leader there and then I became head of department, another young woman told me, yeah, she's pregnant and she knows that when I came back after my first pregnancy, already after 4 months when I was working at Porsche, and you are our role model. And I said, wait a minute, stop. I would never do that again. You have to spend some time with the kids as well. And my whole career, I would say also having kids, there was no real plan behind it. So it just happened. When I got my first child, everyone told me you will destroy your career, but I didn't care because I just wanted to have kids. Mm-hmm. So, and having kids also supports you in like being clear in what you accept or not, because you also have to educate your kids and you have to help them to become a good person somehow. So I think it was like the two things that I was a mom. It was difficult, but it was also helpful. And on the other hand, I had, of course, also some really fantastic bosses. I had also some bosses which did their way of leading people, not in a way that I liked it. So, mm-hmm. of course, you also learn from things which are negative, exactly as you mentioned. But yeah, it's difficult, I think, for young women to have really a good female role model. There aren't many. And this is still a big challenge. And I think if you are a male leader, you cannot really understand what happens there. Mm-hmm. Because if you, for example, you're working a lot and the board members are coming again late in the evening and you know you have to pick up your kids and you just say like, oh, today it's really difficult and challenging for me because I thought I can pick up my kids. I don't know how to deal with that now. And I have to stay here because of the board. And your colleagues are saying, yeah, but that's your decision. You could also stay at home because you're a mom. My wife stayed at home. And then I just said, okay. And you think for your daughters, it's also the right thing because they're studying. I'm sure you want them to get a good job and maybe becoming a leader as well. So I had those situations, of course, where I realized this, like old school thinking men are talking to me in a way that I'm getting really upset in a way, but I always try to deal with that in a calm way, mm-hmm. not reacting like angry, because I think everyone is a child of the society you grow up.
Yeah.
But it's of course really challenging. So there are situations where you feel like, I would like to have some support, please. And the interesting thing is, the higher the level was of people I talked to, like the board level or the highest head of design, they always had more understanding of a situation. They were more open to giving you chances. For example, At Mercedes, I got my role as creative team leader when I came from Porsche. I had two little children, mm-hmm. and I said, okay, I want to do that job, but I'm going to do it part-time. And that was probably unique. First of all, a woman coming with two little children and being allowed to do this job part-time. You can imagine he was supportive, but the people on the same level, they were not so happy about that situation. There was not so much support all the time. That takes time for the people to see if you're really skilled, if you know your job, if you know what you're doing. And on top of that, you have to deal with the situation that you have to lead a team. Yeah. And this is also something I was not used to. So I really had to trust myself. And in the very early beginning, I had to make a really big decision. And the decision is, it doesn't matter if you're male or female, I think you have to make a decision if you showing you yourself in an honest way so mm-hmm. that you're real, or if you're playing the role of the boss. Mm-hmm. And I decided to be real because I had no other chance. I had two children. I had to struggle with a lot of difficult situations. And I wanted to deliver the greatest design ever with the best team ever. So you have to be really honest. And I think this was the solution. And no matter if someone like answered me in a not so nice way, I just continue to stay real.
Yeah. I want to dig into this topic of support a little bit, because that's obviously something that I think we hear a lot from women wanting to move this kind of career ladder, which is, it's more like either or than and, you know, it's either career or kids, but it's never really that kind of topic of and. You mentioned there was little support, but where did the support that you had in that sense really come from? Was it the highest level bosses? Was it outside? Was it people that you were looking for to speak to and how they have managed? Or was it literally just like, okay, I have to find a way by myself because there wasn't anybody at that time to do it? How did you manage to get through with this? Because also mentally, that must have been not an easy situation.
No, I think mentally, I would say it was more in my private life that I got support. From my husband at that time, he supported me a lot and he was already in a leadership role. And I think he was always already balancing this like male and female leadership thing in a very good way. We are divorced now, but still friends. And I really, I'm thankful that I learned a lot from him. And I would also say it helped me a lot to see that I think during my Mercedes time, it was one meeting I couldn't join with the board. And, I had really a wonderful woman in my team, a team leader, and she took over this meeting. And I told her, just tell the board, my son is sick. I can't be here. And I don't know what's happening, but I know you will do a good job. I trust you. And this is what I also learned. I had to trust my team, and I did. And it worked out very well. And she told the board, well, she's not able to be here. Her son is sick. And next day, I was back in the office and I met all these board members in front of the door, and they asked me, how is your son? Mm. And this showed me it's okay. It's okay. And if there are other people who are like dealing differently with this situation, it's their problem, not mine. But of course it's difficult really mentally. Yeah. And I think I'm a very strong person. I grew up with a very strong father and grandfather, and they never made a difference between boys and girls. Mm-hmm. So I grew up with the understanding we are all similar. And later the society told me it's not true. So you have to fight for things. And but I always try to not to lose myself, because if you end up in a situation where you feel like you have to fight constantly, mm-hmm. I think this is also not good for your character. So sometimes to really reflect, find time for yourself. I think for me, the most difficult thing was between children and leading roles in the automotive industry to find some time for myself. And for me, since I was driving a lot every day, I had nearly between 45 minutes and 1 hour drive. This was my time in the car, actually. So to listen to music and get some energy back. And I haven't had enough time to meet friends or to spend time with my family. That was definitely the negative aspect. But also, if you work in the design, it's so connected to your heart. So I loved my job, of course, and this gives energy back, and also my team. Yeah. As soon as the team is running in a good way and you have every person in the right place, this is, I would say, after nearly 1 year, the energy comes back from the people. And that was, for me, the greatest experience. And no matter who came, or no matter which boss was like happy or unhappy with my female leadership style, that was really, really supportive. And I got always a very good feedback from my teams.
Yeah.
Because I love to trust people. I want to have a really honest and open and transparent way of working. And I think the people really appreciated that.
Yeah. It's funny that you say female leadership style. Has this ever been mentioned to you by other colleagues? So when you were, you know, Mercedes, Volvo, you know, in these kind of director positions, then you know, reporting directly also to the head of design, or even further than obviously a little bit later on with everything that happened at Polestar. Has this ever been referred back to you, this kind of, hey, you have a female leadership style, or was this always accepted as a leadership style? Did you personally make any differences with that as well?
Well, I think I definitely had a different leadership style than the others at Mercedes at that time. The board of management had an initiative. It was called Leadership 2020, and it was about creating a new leadership style or new leadership principles for the company, because this very strong hierarchy and a little bit more the old leadership style, of course, doesn't lead to success in the future. The world is changing, and from time to time, you have to look at that and change it or adjust it. And the idea from the board was that each and every division is sending one person, no matter which hierarchy level, just one person taking part in that, 144 people all over Mercedes. And my leadership team at Mercedes and my boss, they looked at me and said, well, we will send you because you're doing it anyway already in that new way, however we call it. Yeah. And I saw a difference, but I wasn't really aware of it. But I got, of course, the feedback. And when I was joining this initiative, I realized very, very quickly that this is exactly how I would like to lead. So I think what we're calling maybe nowadays female leadership is very much connected to a general new way of leading people. Mm-hmm. And maybe having or going away from this idea of how you have to be as a leader, like strong, clear, knowing always the best answer and having a clear vision and so on. This is somehow still valid, but I think nowadays it's better also to listen to your really skilled employees, and together you will always get a better answer than you have in your mind, maybe. Yeah. And I think the general change in the leadership all over the world is probably very much connected to the way how female leaders lead anyways.
How did it change culturally for you when, I mean, like, look, in a German way, and obviously we're two Germans talking here in a German city right now, and German leadership is always kind of seen as very direct and I would not say dictatorial in that sense, but in German design is top down, you know, or in most cases still up until today. And then you go to Sweden. Sweden is a culturally very different, very social, almost like democratic in its way of how to make decisions. How did that change your personal leadership style? Did it fit in quite nicely, actually, with what was happening in Sweden? Or let's say in that sense, did you become a bit more German from where you were going into? And how did the environment of the design department with, you know, somebody like Thomas, for example, change that as well, or like, you know, have an effect on that?
Yeah, Sweden was really interesting for me. It's a beautiful country. Everything is, I felt there's not much stress there. The people don't like stress. And you have to discuss a lot. So the people want always to come to a common alignment. This is why in Sweden are not like, there aren't like laws existing than in Germany. So everything is an agreement or an alignment between people. And that was a challenge. Honestly, the first weeks I felt like one of my toughest German bosses in my past. I felt like a typical German head of design person. My behavior was so, I really had to reflect who I am and how I am. So I felt in Germany, I have like new leadership skills. I'm doing it differently, not the typical old car design guy way of leading. But when I arrived in Sweden, I felt I'm so much educated, like a German design leader, and really having a clear vision. All these things was always, of course, if you have a big group of people, you have to have a clear vision where you would like to go. But in Sweden, I had to be so patient to listen to every voice, to every single person. And I had to learn a lot then, but I really loved it after a while. It changed my perspective a lot. And I have to say, the people are very creative. I had a wonderful team there, though it was not a challenge to lift them on a next design level, because they were really good and skilled designers from a very diverse team. Also, several Swedish people. But of course, you have to accept the way of working. You have to accept the culture. And of course, there are also situations when in design people, nearly everyone in Sweden close to Gothenburg has a boat. If they want to bring their boat into the water during summer, no one is asking if there's like a board meeting next day. So you are, if you are in an unlucky situation and the design team has left because of the boat, then the head of design or the leadership team, you have to be the intern, the employee and the leader in one person and just prepare the presentation with hopefully some other people who stayed in the studio by yourself. So it was, for me, it was good to understand that even my ego design thing has grown in Germany. So I could really, again, realize who I am actually and really talking to people in a way that is different. So it taught me a lot. It taught me really a lot. And Thomas Ingenlath is also, I think I had some conversations with him, why the Swedish people love the German design leaders, because for the Swedish people, it's tough to make a decision.
Yeah.
And decision-making is one of my favorite things. I know always what I want and what I like. And this is probably why Thomas is so successful also in Sweden, because he has a clear vision. He knows exactly what he wants. And he, understands the brand he's working for and fighting for 100%. And Swedish people love the Germans because they make decisions.
Yeah. Has this changed in terms of your mentorship then as well? Like the mentorships that you are seeking from people, that also that you're passing on your time in Sweden from what you're seeing right now? Because it's, again, it's almost like you're going from a German way to a Swedish way. You always go back and forth. And I think because you also worked in Rivian, the Americans are somewhere in the middle from that sense as well. Have you ever thought about like, you know, then, okay, my mentorship that I give to people and also my leadership has changed drastically in those kind of 3-4 years that you did Sweden and the US to a level where, let's say, in a German way, you don't really feel German leadership anymore in you?
Yeah. I don't feel German leadership anymore. That's definitely true. This is a really interesting, very good question. I do not think so much anymore about the cultural background. I think it's more like everything what happens with me during these experiences brought me more back to who I am actually. Mm-hmm. So to my own personality. So I'm not so much afraid to do it really my way. And I'm more concerned that people feel also comfortable when they're working with me. I think this is something in Germany and the car industry, you're not taking care so much about, maybe, of course, your team. I always took care very much about my team, but with your colleagues, same level, no one is taking so much care about how you feel or if you're happy. So, you try to achieve a lot together, but yeah, it's a lot of work and you have a lot of pressure on all these things. But I think now I'm really at a moment where I would say people I'm working with are very important to me. I'm really caring about people. I'm, no matter if I would be a leader or just a colleague, I just want to help them to be a sparring partner or a coach if they need me. So I think it's more like a way of helping, supporting, understanding how where people are, maybe help them with my experience. This is, I think, more my goal.
Yeah.
And I totally see if I talk to especially women, they are struggling with some life situations, how much pressure they have. I really try to release them a little bit from the pressure because it's, I think the men have the same pressure, but they are not talking so much about it. At Mercedes, I had some situations where also men told me it's difficult with kids and job and if they go to business travel, but they talk to me, not to each other. It's easier to talk to women about that. And I felt that it's a weird situation, but honestly, I think if we can achieve in a society or all over the world that people are more open, trust each other more and just try to be honest, then you will also get much more support. And this is something I really had to learn, to really open up and not thinking I have to do everything my own. I was always a person I thought I have to do everything by my own. I didn't expect support from anyone. And this has changed a lot. And I think the experience with Sweden, also with the with the US studio and also working with China, I think Chinese people are very supportive, very much caring. And I really learned no matter where you are, you will always find people who support you. And this is a trust in life. I really had to learn that.
Now, this might be a little bit of a provoking question or provocative question on that side. Do you think that the design departments are actually set up to give this support from a leadership perspective as well? Because that's a really big difference in terms of managing and leading. Yeah, to also have the emotional connection to say like, hey, I want to take care of my people in that kind of context. That it's not just about the, you know, call it the general kind of get stuff done from that side. Do you think they're set up, or is it still a lack of understanding that this way of leadership is existing now and like should be in a process?
When I talk to people from different car companies and especially design studios, I hear completely different stories. Mm-hmm. Some of them believe they can continue like they did, so they just continue the old way because they thought it's successful. And honestly, it's tough to change. But I also just recently talked to two head of designs. They said they are probably not in the age anymore to have a big change in their own life, but they see that they have to behave differently. They have to change. And they also reflect constantly when they like fall back in their old behavior. This is really interesting. And I think human beings are able to change their behavior and the way of living and leading and all these things. They can change that always, no matter which age you are. But to say that I have done something for maybe 20 or 30 years in a specific way, and now I realize it's not valid anymore, or I think I have to adapt it. First of all, because I think maybe see that my team is more satisfied and happy, and I also can make sure that the team is staying together and mm-hmm. you are not losing people. And also because of you have to be attractive for new employees. And the generation which comes up, well, my oldest son is 14 years old. They grow up in a way that you listen to them. They have their opinion. They feel seen. They want to achieve something. And we protect them. And I see that, well, I'm also a child of my time, of course, and I grew up completely differently. But if you see an intern today, you have to explain them why they should do something, how they should do it, what they should do, and how to support them. They ask a lot of questions. When I was an intern, someone told me, okay, this has to be ready by tomorrow morning. I worked all night and just did it. There was no question about it. And I think many leaders realize that. So, because they also have children, they see what's happening, and you cannot grow up your children like that and expect that your employees are different. So the world is changing. And I really appreciate that, to see that many leaders are really open to that. And I'm really very excited to see what happens, especially with the German car industry. I think that's probably the challenging thing.
Yeah.
Sweden, okay, no problem. But probably also England is easier because it was always a different type of society. But still, there are also some strong leaders who have to adapt their behavior. But Germany will be definitely challenging from my perspective.
So let's look ahead into that future a little bit when we talk about these challenges. So we know this obviously from the colleagues that run the recruitment side here. And you know, we talk about this internally quite a bit, is this wish of increasing the headcount of women within the studios. And when we talk about 10-15% is where we are right now, and there's this kind of global ambition to be on 25, I think, in the near future. Now, from your perspective, coming into the industry, you know, probably having a few fights on the way of, you know, getting up, building a career out of it as well with family and everything. Do you actually see this as being realistic? Is it currently attractive enough to work in the car design environment as a designer, and not necessarily from a creative perspective, but also from the surroundings that, you know, there is a path for women to be made. There is also the ambition of female leadership of what you've just mentioned, to have, you know, people in these high level positions, and let's say not just only within an area of CMF design where it's the most common, but also an exterior, interior, which will obviously take 10, 15 years. I think we need to be honest in this one. But what do you think needs to happen that, you know, this kind of ambition of 25, 30 or even more percent is actually becoming a reality? Because at the moment it's a wish, but we know probably there's a few things that need to happen there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because I think now the expectation is from HR or also from the board that all divisions are hiring more women in the automotive industry. But if you're not starting at the very early beginning, there is no woman. So you can also not expect to have a new product, a new car out in 1 year if you haven't worked already on it like 3 years ago. So if there's not one point where you say, okay, we have to start with an initiative, we have to go to the schools, or we have to explain that these jobs exist. Of course, a little boy sketching cars all day, he will be very much interested in like understanding, is there a possibility that my joyful fun here could become a profession later? But well, in the design industry, you can be a graphic designer in the design of automotive, or you can design parts, you can design interiors. I think also cross-functional design themes are coming more and more. And there's also like design development topics or process topics. So it's such a complex thing that I do not think that there is no need for women. So no job which couldn't be done by a woman. I think there is not enough information about it. Mm-hmm. I think everyone, maybe even us, we should go more to schools and inform about those options and also giving women the insights that it's not just done or it's not just a job for men. I think this is really important. And I think until now, still there are these like situations where head of designs maybe get less or more bonus if they hire more women. I think that will not change anything. If you're just hiring women because they are women, this is more discrimination, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think this is not okay. But on the other hand, maybe giving people an opportunity to start in the design with maybe different skills, that could be something interesting for the future. And honestly, I don't think that we need hundreds of guys who are really only good in sketching. Of course, they have also developed other skills during their career. I also didn't mix any more colors in a color toolbox like I did it in my first job. Mm-hmm. You always start to become a manager, or you become a person who has an understanding of maybe, I don't know, product management or whatever. So you can always increase your knowledge or change the knowledge you have. And I think the first difficult thing is to get the women into the design world.
Yeah.
So this is there's still a gap and a big step. So I also studied textile design. I didn't know that those shops in the car industry exist. And maybe the conversations are not enough between universities, schools, or in general. It's still like this club, boys club, I would say.
Yeah, I also think what we have to be realistic about, you know, what we're seeing in this industry, the role that design plays as well, is not purely a creative role anymore. It's also, you know, about execution. It's about, you know, what we're seeing in general is communication plays a big role. Management plays a big role on projects, but management overall as well. And there's so many new topics that I think come into play where you can also have people that I would call non-traditional car design people. Yeah. Talking a lot about project management, of course, recently. And I don't see why, you know, a woman that has worked in project management for a very long time couldn't come in and learn how the system of car design works. And then really support that function as well. I think it's often what we see is the certain kind of laziness as well. Yeah. And that's maybe not always connected to the gender in itself, but like, you know, allowing somebody to grow in a certain role as well is because of the pressure that often happens, not necessarily the case. Because I think we could actually, if we're really totally serious about it, make plans for more women to come in and bring more also female leadership into play. Let's say also in design operations on the highest levels, but that would require we need to create an entry level. And I think, you know, you're absolutely right in the educational side, but there are entry levels in the working environment as well that are not really taken seriously.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's probably a little bit with all topics. It's no matter if it's like the female in the design world, if you compare it to like new topics like AI in design or all these things, it's always like if something is new, to take the step into it is really difficult. And then sometimes they do it a little bit, but then they step back because they think, it's not working. Mm-hmm. We had a bad experience with this or that person or this or that AI software. It's a similar thing, really. And this is why I am really so happy that AI is coming for me. So it's so strange because it's a different topic, but it's more or less a similar way how the car industry is dealing with that. So it's something new, or it's just not used to have something like that. And yeah. and I think it's always this like changing moment is a very difficult one. And I think people are also, especially in the automotive design, you are used to have nearly only men around you, of course. And if you see that every day since generations, it's, of course, a little bit irritating if you see suddenly more women. And I think this is just this like changing moment. And I think probably in the fashion industry, it's the opposite way around. You have more women, and if there's a few men, it's also like irritating. And of course, you look at them and say, okay, there's someone who's different. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah, I think this is always this moment. But I think if you open the doors and you let them in and find the right spot and place for them, the world is changing, of course. And I do not see any role a woman couldn't do. I do not see why a woman should not be interested in car design. And honestly, if you work in the textile industry, it can be very technical. And I think what people really don't understand is that also working in the CMF area, we have probably more knowledge about what type of steel you need to make the right tool mm-hmm. for a grain part in the car. Ask an exterior designer. So I would expect a man maybe knowing that. No, it's not the case. So women in CMF have probably more technical understanding of things than sometimes the exterior interior designers who hand over their design in a very early phase. And CMF design is like following the whole route mm-hmm. and developing materials, having a really good understanding of technology and being also able to find new technologies or new ways of creating new materials, for example. So why, and then I don't really understand why sometimes the situation is like that men do not expect women to being able to deal with those topics.
Yeah. Is that also because I know this firsthand because we've been doing some stuff on this together, but I remember when you first started here, you mentioned, hey, I want to do a leadership course on like, you know, female leadership, women in design and those kind of things. The story obviously that you have told now about yourself, like your career and everything, was that also one of these reasons why you wanted to do that, to give more exposure and give women also the confidence to say like, hey, you can be, you know, as good, and you can even be better, to be fair, in that sense, to create something like this, to create a platform which is really for them, because it might also be, you know, as in every meeting, and this I think is not a gender problem, you have more introverts, you have more extroverts in that sense, but when you just, you know, in a group with yourself, you might talk a little bit differently, and you might be opening up a little bit more in that sense.
Absolutely. I think this is so important. When I thought about becoming a team leader, a colleague of mine told me, you have to read the book from Sheryl Sandberg, the COO from now, I think it's called Meta
Platform. Yeah, it used to be Facebook then, yeah.
Exactly. And I did that and I realized that I was stepping into faults like women do. So sitting in a meeting, your boss is asking, I have a good job. If you're doing the job and you're good in it, you have maybe you can get the next level or whatever. So you have some new job opportunities. I was thinking about, am I able to do it? Am I good enough? All these things. And some of my colleagues, they just raised their arm. And I thought, well, guys, you are sorry, you can't do it. Why are you saying, yes, we can? And this is such a strange moment. This is really very nicely explained in that book. And the book helped me a lot. So I thought it's really good for women to have another female person with some experience to talk about those things. And the husbands also will be happy because they do not have to deal with that at home. And I think it's also really important to protect your private life, not having those discussions at home, like I had it several times, but having someone who's really a support for you, where you have a safe space, where you can bring up those things. And it was interesting because sometimes also, for example, men who are deciding to go on paternity leave, they don't know what happens if they're coming back. They're dealing with the similar things. There's no real big difference between men and women, but women are more in the situation that they have more to deal with those situations today. But it's also changing. And I think it's good for people to have support, to have a space where they can talk, to get some advices, to get someone who is like a sparing partner coaching them in a way that they are really also getting a little bit more feeling of what they can really reach instead of listening to their bosses or peers who are probably not happy to have another person they have to fight for. So I think it's really important to have this safe space, and there are so many topics popping up and so many things which makes women insecure and not sure how they should proceed in those situations. And I really would like to give women this platform. And my dream is definitely to have a 50-50 situation in the design division. And I know 100%, I'm sure that many of my ex-bosses probably are loving right now because they think this is absolutely unrealistic. But I believe in that. I totally believe in it because I think it's the best that can happen. Because if you have a situation in a leadership team or in a team where you in a working team and you have nearly 50-50, it's a better team. They are more successful. The behavior, especially of the men, is much better if you have some women in the room. And I think it's a nicer way to treat each other to work and talk to each other. And it's also more successful because you have more views. And it's not only men and women. It's also like having people from other cultures. The more diverse it is, especially in design, the better it is. So in a soccer team, you are a big soccer fan. You would never question that there are people from like different countries, just the best player together. And this is great. I think this is something we could achieve in the design. And this is something I will definitely invest a lot of time to achieve that.
Oh, I mean, you know, when we did the design executive forum and we had Steve Hansen there, we were talking about, you know, a lot of that. So I like these sports metaphors quite a bit. It's unfortunately the case that in many design studios, the sports topic is not always considered as, let's say, a valid argument, just because, you know, for a lot of people, it's much more on their own. And, you know, when you do sports and you learn to, you know, play with people and in that case, work with people that help you to get to a common goal, even though you might not have to agree with them all the time, it's a massive thing to learn, you know. And I think just a little anecdote from my end on this one, one of the big things that really helped me grow was, and I was like, I think it was between the age of like 12 and 15. I used to play handball quite a lot. And in that age, we had two girls playing in our team. Because they were just too good to play, unfortunately, in the girls' team in that sense, you know. They were literally, from a skill level, better than I would say 70, 80% of the team that we've had. They were just unbelievably good. And they both finally went on to play in, like, you know, the first division back then. So, and then the female first division. So they had the talent to be there. And at first it was awkward because they had their own locker room and everything. And then you met on the pitch. But at some point, you're like, you know, when you're 12, 13, you're like, okay, cool. What is happening here right now? But then at some point, you don't make a difference anymore because it just realizes like, hey, they're just really good. And actually, they outplay us to such a degree that difference of them being a different locker room doesn't really matter anymore. And it was just about pushing and getting onto that kind of next level. And I think if you've never gone through anything like that, no matter in what stage in your life, you know, it's very difficult. And I think in car design in particular, if you understand, you know, you're surrounded by men and then, you know, maybe a woman comes in and says, and you're just like, wow, like that's actually crazy. Like in terms of quality and everything, the first feeling I think for a lot of people is insecurity rather than acceptance. And that learning function is something that obviously becomes easier and easier by the more women we have in place. But if we don't put anybody in place, that function will never be there. And I think that's in particular in car design, like a big challenge just to kind of get rid of that. But I think, you know, we see more and more, but I do agree that, you know, we have to go back into the education from that side.
Yeah. And compared to sports, the physics are not important for a designer. So, and this is probably the most difficult thing in sports, because there is a point, of course, where male and female physics, of course, are different. And because we are different, we are also, of course, sometimes have a different behavior. But in design, I think there is definitely no reason. And the crazy thing is that if you look into the past, it was always like women are the creative ones. So men are more the like logical thinking people and more technical and so on and orientated. And why is that changing when it comes to car design? Why shouldn't women not be creative there? So it's not really clear to understand. And I heard several times from also colleagues, we're searching for women in design, but it's so tough, especially in exterior and interior design. And if we find a woman and she's okay, then we always have another man who's better. Honestly, there are also a lot of designers who are not on the highest level in the design world. I also met some guys who are probably not the best designers, but they are fantastic people in a team. They can support team. They think cross-functionally. They think visionary. So there are so many other skills. And it feels a little bit like sometimes women have still like to have even more skills or prove themselves even better than men. And I just recently read something in a newspaper that it's still like it's easier for human beings to hire someone who is similar to yourself. And this also explains probably a little bit why.
Absolutely. You know, it's a big learning function. I mean, I can talk about this for myself. And, you know, you always want to have somebody where you're just like, hey, I think we should do this. But you think about this from your own perspective. So when you think about this from your own perspective, then obviously you would say like, well, I would want to have somebody with, you know, who could do that for me. But in the end, you always think about, hey, how would I do it and how would I form that? Getting rid of that is not easy.
And this is a typical old way of thinking and leading. And I had that as well. You have your vision. You think you want it to be done in that way, but you have not enough time to do it by yourself. So you need some like people who are exactly doing what you want. It's like you're copying yourself in a way so that it's more or less in the end becoming exactly like you wanted it. It's way more difficult to hire people who speak up, who come up with other ideas. That creates a lot of confusion for you as a leader, and to deal with that and having this like open mind to accept that. And in the end, also bring everything again together and bring it to a good end or to the goal you have expected in a way with like maybe some additional fantastic ideas is much more difficult.
Yeah. And to quote on this one, like I think from the executive forum, when I asked Steve Hansen that kind of question, he said, why would I hire somebody, you know, who's pretty much like me? Because I'm never going to be satisfied because they're not exactly like me. So it's never going to be exactly on that kind of level. So I'd rather hire people that can give me something that I can't do and, you know, show me stuff that I can't do or like that I don't even think about. And I think, again, in terms of leadership, you know, that plays a big role in terms of the hiring for women, I think, as well, to kind of allow yourself to say like, well, they can give me something that I have no idea about. And that has also to do with how you think and, you know, how you maybe grew up and all these kind of things. But you need to make an active direction towards that as well. Otherwise, it's just copy and paste, you know, and we always say copy, paste, no time to waste, but you can waste a lot of time doing that as well. Claudia, before we come to an end, I want to ask two more questions. One of them, I think, is relatively straightforward. The other one might bring you to think about it a little bit. But in your career, was there anybody that, you know, you might have you worked with or maybe not worked with that you really looked up and said like, hey, this is somebody who gives me inspiration, somebody that I really constantly want to learn from, and that also was maybe like a leadership, not idol in that sense, but somebody just to look up and like, hey, this is a person that I feel really comfortable that I should kind of grow myself into as well, or like take certain kind of things from as well. And again, could be somebody you worked with, or even from the outside where you say like, that would be a good role model that I would like to follow.
Yeah, difficult, because I think in each time I was working in those different companies, I think always my head of design was my role model. I was always very much focused on how they do the job.
In good and bad, or?
I would say more good. Some things I would have done differently, of course, but this is also learning. But I never looked at them in a way that I was then upset or something like that. So when I was working with Michael Mauer, it was very inspiring for me, the way how he sees things, how he explains what he sees, and how he, when I had not so many meetings just alone with him, but even in board presentations, the way how he looks at design and describes why and what he expects something or what he's seeing was very inspiring for me. Also Gordon Wagner, he has a very strong vision. He was really a very strong leader, I would say. And he gave me the opportunity as a young mom to become a team leader. I honestly do not expect that people know that. but he is very supportive when it comes to women. I think it's not really him who's like against that, but there are, of course, more people working in design, and it's always a little bit a difficult situation to really know who's doing what. But I think he always had a strong vision. I think now when I look back to Michael Mauer and Gordon Wagner, I totally see that my leadership style is different, of course. But probably they have changed as well. I don't know that. And Thomas Ingelot, of course, I really like this, like he balanced between the very Swedish way, listening to everyone, and again, making a strong decision. And you also, Swedish people can be very upset if the decision is different to what they expect, but stay with that decision and show them after a while that the decision was correct. I think the most important thing is that you're really self-confident and that you trust yourself. I think a big challenge for all leaders is that they are at a specific moment maybe too far away from the team, or that that might happen, or that they after a while lose the connection to where they come from. This is really so, because the ego is also growing very much. And this is something I really learned. And I think this is something which is challenging for all, especially head of designs or design leaders. Because if you get good feedback from the board, if you get good feedback from your team or other departments, well, you can feel very proud of what you've done. And they can, the people I talked about, they can be really very proud of what they did. I can imagine it's a big challenge for them to really, again, step back, say, who am I? I have to reflect what I'm going to do next, and not feeling like everything I'm doing is the best.
Yeah.
Because this is not the case. Each and every product you're starting is new. No matter if you're a young designer or if you're head of design, you always have the challenge again and again. And this is very difficult and it's exhausting. And to go through that again and again with the team, motivate everyone, is a tough job, honestly. And I think to have the time to reflect who you are, and that you're not like, yeah, your ego is growing too much. Yeah. It's a tough one.
Yeah. Last question. If a young student, female student in particular, comes up to you now and is like, well, I would like to get into this car world, or I'm interested in it, what advice or tip would you give them to start their career?
Definitely work hard, because that is expected and needed for men and women in the car industry. Learn a lot, listen to everyone, and especially talk to the older people in the design world, because even if they do not believe that it's a place for women, you will learn a lot. You need a good skill set. And I would also say, really trust yourself. Don't let you push into a corner where you do not belong to. And speak up. And if speaking up means that you have to leave a company, then there's another place for you.
Yeah.
Never be afraid. Fearless. I think this is something I definitely learned from all of my ex-head of designs is be fearless and think big.
Think big is great.
Claudia, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Always, and I do have to say, it's nice to sit across from each other. As much as it's okay with the, you know, the digital recordings and everything, it's a much better kind of conversation to be had. But thank you very much for being part of the series and the season. And to all the listeners of the Gestalten podcast, thank you very much once again for giving you, giving us your hour of listening to that as well. And we will be back very, very soon with the next episode and the next episode in the season for the Gestalten podcast called Women in Design. Thanks very much for listening and see you very, very soon.